I'll invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And I'll read it if you didn't by chance bring your Bible or have it on the phone. But I'm actually going to read the whole chapter today because I think this chapter is one of those chapters of Scripture that can really give us an insight of what God is seeking from us when it comes to the Christian life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that...
Will you repeat the address?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Right. Romans 12.
I'm with it now.
Romans 12. I'm now at verse 4. I'm glad. No, that's perfectly fine.
You're participating. How nice.
Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to us. If one's gift is prophesying, let them prophesy to their faith. If it is serving, let them serve. If it is teaching, let them teach. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil, evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take refuge, my friends, but leave room. Do not take revenge, sorry, my friends. But leave room for those, or for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. There is at least a year's worth of sermons in one chapter. I mean, think of just the lists that are given to us, just the challenges, just the vision of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This has been one of those passages, if you were to look in my Bible, I have underlines, I have worked at memorizing, I'm horrible at keeping things in my memory, but I've worked at memorizing, and this is one of those passages that I went back through this week, and I thought, how many times have I preached on that? And I looked on today, and I think I've probably had at least 8 or 10 sermons on this passage alone. It's an important passage for us, but there are many like this. The passage about the fruit of the Spirit, where Paul instructs us with how to live spiritually. Jesus' prayer for the disciples and how we should love one another. Over and over, Scripture is filled with practical, real ways for us to look at what it means to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. Practice is the key, not knowledge. Practice is the key. And so today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about practice. So what I did was I brought with me some welding gear. And it's just welding. I just brought this. I could have brought my car tools, but they're greasy. This has never been used. Oh, yeah. It's brand new. It's brand new. I was offered to be taught at one point. But so seriously, if I put on the welding hood, am I a welder? I am. I've got a welding hood on. I will even go ahead and put on this really snazzy fire retardant coat that Dennis gave me way back when we started this whole thing. And I'll put on this coat. And now, am I a welder?
No.
I've got gloves. Can I put the gloves on and become a welder?
No.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes this is kind of how we deal with our own faith. We can know a little bit about something. We can carry a Bible around. We can know where the app is on our phone. The challenge is not knowing what it looks like or we think it might be like. The challenge comes when Dennis actually puts a wand. What do you call that?
Stinger.
The stinger? Stinger. Now am I a welder? I know the right word. No, I'm not. It comes at that moment when I actually have a stinger put in my hand. But when I've learned some of it, and then when I've practiced some of it. And even then, I'm not a welder yet. I may be welding. But there's a difference between welding and being a welder. Now, I'm saying all of this, obviously, from a lack of knowledge. Dennis could teach us far better. But here's what I've observed. Here's what I've observed. In our lives, this is the way we learn. Number one is we understand something. Which one of us doesn't understand live at peace with each other? It's a concept we understand. We can hear those words, and up here, we can understand them. But the second part of that, then, is we watch what that means to people around us. To live at peace with one another. Now, I'll be honest. I can think back in the life of our church at times that I have either offended or hurt nearly everybody in this room. I haven't done it to Jason yet, I don't think, so we'll get there eventually. We'll get there. But I can think of times when I've done that, and yet I can observe how people have chosen to live at peace with me. I can watch that. But then a part of me then understands that in order to truly understand what it means to live at peace with other people, I then have to start practicing that myself. And then finally, I have to practice it even when I'm outside of this group, out in the world, living my faith around others. If I were to take Romans 12 over this next year, just Romans 12, and read through it every day, I would find new things to practice every week of the year. So here's my example. I've watched Dennis train welders. Number one, he starts out in the classroom and he gives them the basics and the information out of a book. He tells them with words what it means to weld and how to know the tools, the equipment, and the supplies that are necessary for welding. He gives them the basic knowledge. Which one of us didn't do that with our kids? Which one of us hasn't done that with a coworker that we've trained? Which one of us hasn't done that with someone we've mentored? Or maybe somebody that we ourselves have taught to do something. Maybe it wasn't welding. Maybe it was sewing. Maybe it was working on a car. But after you give the basic knowledge, then the next thing that has to happen is you have to actually do it for somebody. They have to see it. Words aren't always sufficient. After that, Dennis goes through the classroom. He goes out to the shop a few weeks later, once they know the basics, and then actually starts to weld a bead in front of them. And pretty quickly takes that stinger and hands it to them and says, "Now you do the same." Do you think the first time they hold that, it looks like what Dennis does? No, we know that. And so he does the same thing. But then eventually what he does is he says, "Now keep practicing. I'm going to go help the next student." And then he goes and helps the next one. And the job of that student is to practice it even when they're not being watched. The process I'm describing to you for how to weld and the process that I'm sharing with you today is about our discipleship. For quite a while, I've been wondering, how are we as a church going to grow in our own faith? Maybe it's at a Bible study. Those are ways that we can actually start diving into things and learning together. But I feel like one of the things we need to do is we just need to get started practicing this stuff. And some of you already are. But I want to hear about that for each other's benefit so that we can all learn from each other. Just like Dennis will draw a welding bead first and show a student how it's done. How much importance is there on us showing how we too are growing in our faith so that each of us can grow in our own way? Romans chapter 12 gives us this very simple challenge. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, Paul is instructing us, notice that there's a pattern in our world. And I don't think his job wasn't, and really Paul didn't want to point out specific patterns. He just wanted people to understand the general pattern. The general pattern is, I rely on me. It's me. I'm the one that's in charge. I get it figured out. That's the general pattern in our world. But instead, he's inviting us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds how? Later he talks about how that's the Holy Spirit working and washing our minds, cleansing us of that need for us to be the ones that are in charge, to where we are sacrificing our lives to God. He's in charge of us. And our thinking and our minds become renewed. To know these things and to hear them on a Sunday morning is the equivalent, and saying that I know it is the equivalent of me putting on a welding helmet and saying I'm a welder. I can know a thing. But if I haven't practiced a thing, am I really a welder? We know the answer is no. So for us, over this next week, my invitation is going to be for us to learn what it means to actually practice this. So, like any good teacher, Dennis, do you ever give your students homework?
Yep.
Okie doke. If I'm going to follow this pattern, I'm going to follow the pattern for everybody. There you go. So, you have four dogs? Okay, it will not eat this homework. Any of the four of them. So, the whole point of homework is, and I'll let you guys kind of pass the rest of those around. Let me have one of those. The whole point of this homework is it's not because I need to check something. The whole idea here is for us to engage and for us to try and practice our faith. Today what I've done is I've given you a basic homework package. First of all, over this next week, what I'm going to invite us to do, and for those of you who don't have like a regular set time where you're just spending some time away, just focusing on time with God, this is just going to be something I'm going to encourage you to do maybe once or twice this week. Just start a little bit. This morning's reading for the week will be Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to invite God to transform us. So what I would do is, this is how I would do it myself. And, by the way, I have, this is my regular devotional. I have a tool that I use. Some of you have tools that you use for regular scripture reading. I know John has mentioned that he still gets the Go Tandem scriptures. We did that a couple years ago. Those still come to his phone. Every once in a while, he'll text me one. Every once in a while, he'll text me five or six in a week because he probably thinks I need it. But he'll text me some. The point is I know there's a pattern. I know Paul likes to go find an empty parking lot in the mornings. I know that because we've talked about that. That's his thing. Is he goes, he can't do it at the house because there's too many little birds chirping at his house. Hey, let's do this. So what he does is he goes and finds a place that's completely separate and quiet. Some of you may have those patterns. Mine is always at my office because that is where my quiet time is. Even though work's there, it's kind of my way. It's my ritual for starting the day. And I get there and this is broken down into dates. And I've read through this thing, I can't tell you how many times. The binding's falling off. I took most of the sticky notes out because it looks like fall, because there's leaves everywhere around it. But the point is for today, this was my devotion this morning and the reading that I had. And it was just fitting for what I was sharing today. The prophet Hosea was married to Gomer, whom he loved dearly, but who was often unfaithful to him. Out of this experience, Hosea was able to speak to the people of God about how he feels when we run away from his love and he remains faithful to us. The rest of it goes on, and as I read through it, I thought, I want to show and return to God the same faithfulness that he has shown me. I read through this on a regular basis, and it's a part of my rhythm for doing. So see, I'm telling you about something right now. But then I'll show you right here how I would do this. Because the first thing I would do is in the morning, I would ask God, what needs to be transformed in me? And I heard God this morning saying, focus. But God wants me to focus more and listen more, because I'm a doer. I'm not a good listener. And then what tool for renewal would I use today? And this is what I used. This was the tool I used. Maybe you would use prayer or a Bible app or maybe quiet. Early on in my faith, I had a guy that told me I had to pray an hour a day. That was exactly what I had to do, an hour. I am not a rule follower, rigid kind of guy. That's just not the way I work. And so when I heard an hour a day, I started trying to do an hour a day. And as I did it, I was really losing traction with my faith. I was getting angry at God. I was getting angry at everybody else. I didn't think this was working. And I was told that that's just the way you had to do it and you had to push through. Didn't work for me. Then one day I was with a friend of mine. You guys remember Rick Herman? Rick Herman and I, he was a great, wise guy. He and I would meet for coffee and conversation. And we had spent almost an hour talking. And I said, man, we haven't even prayed yet. And he said, what do you think we've been doing? You and I have been having a conversation about our faith and about our families and about our life. And he said, Jesus is already here. What do you think we've been doing? And it opened up my eyes to a different way of seeing prayer. And it helped me. Point is you need to figure out the tool that works for you. And then slow down just long enough to answer the question, what did I hear today? The word I heard today, was really about slowing down for me. Being faithful, slowing down, time. And then what can I do today? And the thing I did first thing this morning was I slowed down enough to actually, before I got ready, and believe me, after being gone a week plus, my inbox is anxiously full. I'm nervous about trying to get those emails answered. Can you tell? Even now I'm starting to get nervous just thinking about it.
what I heard was emailing this week. That's what I heard.
Emailing this week, that's right. It's important, though, that I slow down. What I'm inviting you to do is use this as a tool. If the dog eats it, the dog eats it. Because this is not about turning it in. It's about us. And it's about us learning ways to grow in our faith. Now, before I close, any questions or thoughts on this?
I found an accountability buddy.
Accountability buddy?
Accountability buddy.
Okay.
Wayne's going to keep me accountable.
She's going to keep me accountable because I have to keep her accountable.
That's kind of not fair because I was probably going to blow it off. But now,
that's right.
Now I have to do it because I'm keeping her accountable.
Accountability buddy. So one of the things, if you look, what tools do you use? Prayer, scripture, or talk with a spiritual mentor, or accountability buddy. Accountability buddy. Someone you can partner with in this. Other things or questions? Now, for some of us, this is already a regular pattern in our lives. So, I don't necessarily need anybody to do this. But for some of us, this might be a helpful thing just to think through and to reflect. Here's what I am going to ask. If you are willing to, next week, what I'd like to do is hear how this went. Our time with God. Just spending our time with God. I'd like to know how it went. And then we'll do this for a few weeks because, Dennis, how many weeks does it take to train a welder in those entry-level welding skills?
Depends on the individual.
Okay. But it's not going to happen immediately, is it?
No.
So this is something that's not going to happen immediately, but it is something that over time can become a regular rhythm in our life. Today, as we close our time, I'm going to invite us to come to the table for communion. And this is a beautiful way to even begin just thinking about the rhythms and the relationships that we invest in. This is part of doing, by the way, when we come to this table. It's part of doing because Jesus didn't just say, I am the Lamb of God. I am the bread of life. And my blood is the new covenant. What's beautiful about all three of those things is then after he said that, he invited us to participate in that. So that when we come to this table, we come remembering. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. You told me that. I was hesitating on this. Okay, he took the bread. Jesus is a tough dude. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. We get to participate in this moment today. And after supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he shared it with his disciples and he said, take and drink. This represents the new covenant that is in my blood. And he reminded us, he told us, remember me. We've heard it from Scripture. Today we will participate in it here. And when we leave here, we are invited to keep participating in this new life, this renewal, this transformation.